This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we finish up Philippians with rejoice always, think about these things, and supply every need. Then we move to the prophet Zephaniah with swept away and I will punish. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Sanctify us in your truth.
Your word is truth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Reading from Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord,
the Ten Commandments.
You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not.
Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand.
Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
The Small Catechism, page 321. What is the fourth commandment?
Honor your father and your mother.
What does this mean? What is the fifth commandment?
You shall not murder.
What does this mean?
We should fear the law of God so that we do not murder for harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need.
What is the sixth commandment?
You shall not commit adultery.
What does this mean? What is the seventh commandment?
You shall not steal.
What does this mean?
We should fear the law of God so that we do not take our neighbor's money or possessions, or give them in any dishonest way, but help him to improve and protect his possessions and
What is the eighth commandment?
You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, slander him, or hurt his reputation. But defend him, speak well of him, and explain everything in the kindest way.
What is the ninth commandment?
You shall not covet your neighbor's house.
What does this mean? What is the tenth commandment?
You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God so that we do not entice or force away our neighbor's wife, or herds or animals, or turn them against him, but urge them to stay and do their duty.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
During the 1520s, when Wittenberg theologians were convinced that there was a need, a serious need of teaching God's people the whole counsel of God, it became customary to hold catechetical services four times a year, each time spending 10 days in 2 weeks. Typically, the order of catechism services had the following structure, beginning with psalm with antiphon, then the scripture readings, a catechetical hymn, a catechetical sermon, another catechetical hymn, Magnificat, versicle and collect, and then Benedicamus. That's Wittenberg Church Order of 1533. Catechism was not taught in a classroom, but it was preached in the liturgy. 5 out of 10 catechism sermons are given devoted to the Ten Commandments at that time. At our chapel, the Ten Commandments occupy only 3 out of 18 catechetical sermons in a year. It is great that we spend more sermons on the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, Baptism, and Lord's Supper. What I really mean to say is, how can I possibly preach all 10 commandments in only 3 sermons? I'm not complaining, of course. Dr. Green knows it so well. For a fuller treatment of the 10 commandments and all other parts of the catechism, I would like to draw your attention to quite a helpful resource that we are given together, and that is Luther's large catechism with annotations and contemporary applications. Many great and helpful articles and comments are found in this book, highly recommended. This morning we turn to the second table, which addresses our life in today's world. The issues on marriage, sanctity of life, murder, family, and more. The pages of catechisms help us make sound judgment concerning the questions of the day based on the clear word of God and not based on other popular contemporary starting points. Also in the catechism, we are instructed that God protects us from the danger of both moralism and the danger of antinomianism. The law has an important place in the life of the Christians. The Ten Commandments are not mere God's suggestions. Good works are not optional. The law is an unchanging will of God that stands against all forms of self-chosen spirituality. It doesn't allow God is happy when I am happy kind of polemics of popular preachers today to justify our sinful life, or in the name of a love to twist the clear words of our Lord, the so-called best wisdom of the day, of certain locations, does not alter what God has been speaking from the beginning of the world. The Ten Commandments stand against any form of antinomianism. The Ten Commandments also protects us from the danger of moralism or religious musts or do's and don'ts. After all, Dr. Luther recognized that the Ten Commandments are the best written form of a natural law that is already written in our hearts, all human beings. Then the question becomes, what makes Christian ethical life different from that of the people of other religions and cultures? What is the uniqueness of the Ten Commandments, particularly the second table? I came from Japan, and Japan is known sometimes with a high moral standard. We often observe on TV that when a World Cup soccer game is over, every Japanese supporter never departs from the stadium without first picking up the trash and mess that they and other spectators have made. This summer, I spent some time in Japan, and I went to a ball game, not soccer, but the professional baseball game. There I witnessed exactly the same thing. Nobody was telling people in the stadium to clean up the seats. They just did it. The stadium must remain clean as they first entered there. Or years ago, I visited the so-called Golden Shrine, or Kinkakuji, in Kyoto. That's the Buddhism shrine, a temple. All the walls are made up by the gold. At the entrance, there was a big wooden bulletin board, and exactly the same commandments of the second table were written in the large letters. Do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not lie, and the like. And because of the culture of seniority like the rest of the world, it is taken for granted to honor your father and your mother, fourth commandment. So again, what's the difference? Isn't the second table a teaching of good moral behaviors? The story of Zacchaeus provides us with the answer. You know the story. A proud and rich, yet a poor in spirit Zacchaeus was interested in Jesus. Perhaps he felt also the same kind of thing as that young ruler to whom Jesus said, "You lack one thing." Jesus comes and visits him. After a day of visit, we see a totally different kind of Zacchaeus. His heart has been changed. He was lost, but now he is found. Jesus forgave him and bestowed salvation to him. Zacchaeus received abundant gift from Jesus, gift received, that is, faith. With profound joy, he now wanted to apologize to those whom he had offended, against whom he had sinned. Zacchaeus freely delivers what he had in order to return what he had previously taken away from them and even more. But for Zacchaeus, such good work was not something that he had to do unwillingly or only externally. He was prompted to do so because of his heart that was changed by receiving the forgiveness of sins. He received faith in Christ, which the first commandment calls for. The second table is always connected to and flowing from the first table of the commandments. We have received the name of the Lord with the water, the second commandment. We receive the Lord's abundant gifts continually in the church through the sermon, the baptism, the Lord's Supper, absolution, the third commandment. We are guided by the second table of the law in terms of knowing what the good works are. But the law doesn't give us the power to do those good works. As the formula of Concord says, the law does not give power and ability to begin or carry it out. Rather, the formula continues, the power to do good works comes from the hearing of the gospel that renews our heart. We see in Zacchaeus that his deeds after meeting with Jesus was not the works of the law, but the fruits of the Spirit. he joyfully served the Lord and his neighbor without self-centered motivation or self-promotion. He didn't have to worry about himself any longer because he knew how much he was loved by Jesus and how much Jesus means for him. Jesus bears his sin on the cross. Then go joyfully, that is mit Freuden, to your work, singing a hymn like that of the Ten Commandments or whatever your devotion may suggest. So ends our catechism's morning prayer. Protected from the dangers of both moralism and antinomianism, we are given to spend our life joyfully because of what the Lord has already done for us and because of our pastor, Jesus. He cares for us continually in the church and in the chapel. God has made me and all creatures. God defends me against all danger. Jesus purchased and won me from all sins. In the Christian church, the Holy Spirit daily and richly forgives all my sins. Our Father who art in heaven, with these words, God tenderly invites us so that with all boldness and confidence we may ask him as dear children ask their dear Father. The eyes of all look to you, O Lord, and you give their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The small catechism showers upon us the words of our Lord that reveal the fatherly hearts of our God. So, like Zacchaeus, we go joyfully, mit Freuden, to our work or our classrooms, singing a hymn like that of the Ten Commandments. We also get to deal with the contemporary issues of the second table also in faith in Christ that the first table calls for. Faith is already ours as his gifts. Amen.
In our prayers, we remember Heidi Rutar, sister-in-law of seminarian Nathan Raugut, as she has been diagnosed with late-stage brain cancer. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For strength and faith and courage in the resurrection of the dead, for Heidi and her family, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
O God, whose strength is made perfect in weakness, grant us humility and childlike faith, that we may please you in both will and deed. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I thank you,
my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this time from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my duties in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
Amen.